What is your life? This is the question that I would like to consider with you today. I repeat the question, what is your life? Now, this is a question asked by God through James, the writer of the epistle, and it's found in chapter 4 and verse 14. It's a question directed to every one of us. It is an important question. It is a pointed question. It's a question on which hangs both our present and eternal happiness. What is your life? Asked God. Now, will you consider this with me in these few moments with the book today? And let's look at the question, first of all, as to its duration, then its design, its dignity, and its destiny. First, then, considering the duration of life, what is your life? In a recent survey that was done, the average span of life expectancy was noted to be 66 years for males. The female average expectancy is about 74 years. Now, this is quite in accord with the Bible statement in Psalm 90 and verse 10, and I quote, "The days of our years are 70 years, that is 70 years, and they are soon cut off, and we fly away." So while this is man's general limit, and some exceed it, yet many more, by far, do not reach the 70 at all. Now, the similes of human life in Scripture are very striking. Life is likened, for instance, to, first, a flower of the field that fadeth, the dew that passeth away, evaporates before the sun, a shadow that is gone, a ship that is seen upon the horizon, and next it's seen no more, an arrow drawn from a well-strung bow, and twang, it's out of sight. Life is likened also to a bird that soars above, and as we gaze on it, it vanishes from view. From what is perhaps the earliest of all the books of the Bible, the book of Job, in chapters 7 and 9, we take a few examples. For instance, in verse 6 of chapter 7, we read, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." And then verses 7 and 9, "My life is wind, and also is as a cloud, consumed and vanishing away." In chapter 9, verse 25, he says, "My days are swifter than a post." No doubt the swift messenger carrying its urgent message. In verse 26 of chapter 9, he says, "My days are past as the swift ships," and in the same verse, "as an eagle that hasteth to the prey." Now, added to these Old Testament examples as to what is our life, as to its duration, we find in the New Testament, and I just mentioned two, the first one in 1 Peter 1:24, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." In James chapter 4 and verse 14, we read that our life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What is your life? Now, I'm sure that all my listeners can relate to most of these examples given in Scripture. And in the day-by-day experience of time, we find how quickly life passes. One hears expressions like, for instance, "Where did the day go to?" Or, "Is it possible that it's been as long as 15 years since I've seen you? Oh, I can't believe it." It seems that just like yesterday, and so forth and so forth. Yes, dear friend, time and life are quickly gone. Let me ask, have you considered just how long you may yet have to live? The duration of life at its longest is short. How quickly and abruptly it comes to an end. But now, second, let us consider the design of life. What's the purpose of life? We might consider it in three ways. What is your life as to, for instance, first of all, ourselves? Next, as to God? And third, what is your life as to others? As to ourselves, how important it is that we consider our latter end and be wise. If life is short, soon to be over, we're going into eternity, we're going to leave time, life will come to an end here. Let us realize that God has a design that we should be prepared for eternity, to spend eternity with Him. He made us for Himself. And though human life will abruptly end sometime here in time, the person goes on, dear friend, into a never-ending eternity. Now, God gives us now to prepare for then. The Lord Jesus Christ did all the work necessary to prepare us for the glory for eternity. That was done on Calvary's cross when He finished the work. He said so. He said, "It is finished." The work necessary to save us for eternity was done. Now, you and I can wisely appropriate that work in a moment by simply putting our trust in the Lord Jesus, realizing our need of Him, and then be prepared for eternity. Yes, a look of faith to Him in repentance and trust prepares you for eternity. How many opportunities have you had, dear friend, that you've wasted? You've heard the gospel maybe many times, and yet you've put off coming to the Lord Jesus. But right now you have another opportunity. Let me ask, how many more moments will you yet waste? And how many more moments will God give you? Your intentions may be good to sometime, sooner or later, decide for Christ. But tell me, and ask yourself honestly, would it not be wise to settle the matter of your soul's destiny for eternity, your preparation for eternity right now? What is your life as to its design? God designed it to be spent with Him. Do not defeat that by your unbelief. Your sin has separated you from God. Oh, if thou wouldst be wise for thyself. Think of thyself, think of thy soul, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Ah, what is your life? God grant that you'll consider it. Now, what is your life as to its design toward God? Your life is for Him. It was designed for Him. All things were made by Him and for Him. We are His by creation. And furthermore, the death of Christ has purchased all things and all persons, in the sense that all then are accountable to Him. Yes, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. None can escape from being involved in this, no matter how you try. Now, everyone shall give account of himself to God. Now, only those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and own Him as Lord are those who are redeemed. And being redeemed, one is set free from his sin. And he is bought with a price to be God's own peculiar possession, his own people. Are you part of that? Oh, dear listener, your life is really only truly yours as you receive Christ and then yield it to Him. You become His through redemption. And then when you live unto Him, you turn your life then over to Him who died for you and rose again. This is life. It's life toward God, and it's life that you will enjoy. It's full of joy in knowing the Savior. Now, what is your life in design towards others, we might ask? You know, Jesus said when He was here, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It's one of the commandments. Now, only those who live for Christ and others experience what life is to the full. A self-centered life, as you know, is empty and makes one miserable. There's no happiness in it. Oh, dear friend, have you entered into God's design for your life? Are you prepared for eternity? Do you, with the Apostle Paul, say, I am crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he also said in writing to the Philippians, for to me to live is Christ. And then in living for Christ, it involves living for others. Representing Christ here as his ambassador, this is the full life. Christ lived in you and me as believers, representing him here. Friend, this leads us on to consider the third point. What is your life as to its dignity? You know, the God who created us gave us life and breath and all things, is the one who has set men in honor above all the beasts that perish. God has endowed man with capabilities far above the animal creation. He created man in the dignity of his own likeness and image. Not only that, but he has given us this creature life of dignity and crowned that life with his loving kindness and tender mercies. But what happened? Man sinned. He severed his relationship with God. But though he has sinned, though he has fallen, yet our God himself has shown his love in providing a way whereby fallen, guilty man, brought to shame and ruin, can be lifted up, can be redeemed. He offers to fallen, ruined sinners his gift of eternal life in his dear Son. And he gives to all those who accept Christ all things that pertain to life, true life, that is, and godliness. Eternal life, godliness, holiness. Now, God's grace raises fallen man to the dignity of new creation in Christ Jesus. Have you this life? To the Colossians, he could say, Christ, who is our life. Do you possess him? Is Christ your life? We have life in him, and he is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is true of every believer. And consequently, the believer says, to me then to live is Christ. Is there any higher dignity than this? No, there isn't. Dear friend, the sinner has been snatched out of the depths of ruin and despair the moment he trusts in Christ and been raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Christ is our life. Now, is this your life? What is your life? It's been well said as a motto found on the walls of many homes, Christian homes, only one life 'twill soon be passed. How true that is, that's the natural life, soon to pass away. Only what's done for Christ will last. And what is this? That which is done in the power of the new life that we have in Christ, what Christ does through us, only that will last. This is true life. And this raises, you see, man to the dignity of life that God intends for him in Christ, his beloved Son. Now, fourth, let us consider, what is the destiny of your life? In Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ draws aside the curtains, as it were, and shows us, on the one hand, a certain man who was once a beggar, now comforted in Abraham's bosom, safe and secure. On the other hand, he shows us another man, one who was once rich. But we see him, Jesus said, in hell, in torments. And he's wishing for relief, which can never reach him, not even a drop of water to quench the thirst. For he said, I'm tormented in this flame. Furthermore, a great gulf, an impassable gulf, separates these two men forever. They were near each other on earth. The beggar ate of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. But here they are separated by an impassable gulf. Now tell me, do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth itself, has overdrawn this picture, which he faithfully gave us in Luke chapter 16? No, 1,000 times no. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came from heaven. It's symbolized by Abraham's bosom, the dwelling place of God, of all the children of faith. And therefore, he alone can tell of its glorious blessedness. Also, he came from heaven to save us from hell. And therefore, he can rightfully and truthfully estimate the awful reality of the Christless eternity called hell, the lake of fire. Dear friend, in Luke 16, we have the words of Jesus as to the destiny of life. It's either one of two places. It's either heaven or hell. Let me ask you to consider this. What is your life's destiny to be? Now, it is not at all a matter of chance. It is rather determined by your choice in accepting or rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ presented to you in the gospel. Will you not let me today urge you this very moment to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your life, your Savior? We read that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. On the authority of that verse, I tell you that if you come and trust Christ this moment, come, that is, in faith to him, right where you are, open up your heart to him, believe that he came to die for you, the sinner, your life, you confess, has been ruined by sin, you put your trust in him, he says, he that believeth on the Son hath, H-A-T-H, hath, possesses, eternal life. But on the other hand, notice, he that believeth not the Son, or he that is not subject to the Son, shall not see life. Think of it. Shall not possess it, true. But furthermore, shall not even see it. You think you're seeing life. The expression is, we want to see life. See life? The life of this world, dear friends, has nothing. It soon passes away. The pleasures that there are only for a season. You want to see life? Oh, it is found only in Jesus. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Solemn indeed. But here we have, it's either one or the other. Oh, today, I would urge you to believe, to trust, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ this moment. And then in the answer to the question, what is your life, you can answer, Christ is my life, now and forever. And then true, full life you will find in living for him. May God bless his word to every listener today. Our God, our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who is life and life eternal. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we thank thee that everyone that trusts in him receives the gift a vine which is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless the word in causing souls to think of their life, its short duration, its design, its dignity, and its destiny. We pray this and expect thy blessing with thanksgiving. In Jesus our Savior's name, amen.